Okay, today is January the 19th, 1987. My name is Steve Frangos. I'm with the Bureau of Florida Folklife. I'm in Arcadia, which is in DeSoto County, and I'm with Mr. Howard Melton at his home. And that's at 417 North Polk Street here in Arcadia. And he has a very large scrapbook collection, a photograph collection of the history of both the town and the county and areas surrounding. So we were talking earlier, and he said that it was all right for me to tape record him, and we're just going to continue on the subjects that we had been going into before. How's that for a long introduction?
Okay, is it on now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you want to start with Alvy Twist and Dela Twist?
Yes, sir.
He is the inventor of the leggin that is built of aluminum and trimmed and lined with leather. Mm-hmm. He's been in the leather business for, I'd sort of say, around 50 years. And he still has a shop south of town off of Hillsborough Avenue. And his wife has a shoe store downtown on Oak Street that repairs shoes and sells boots, and she makes leather goods of various types, repairs leather equipment, harnesses, and mm-hmm. things of this nature. Here's a picture of the leggings that are strapped on to hunters or surveyors or those who are in the woods. They're very light in weight and comfortable and safe. The snake, the rattlesnakes that are were so common down here, only struck up so high on the leg, so they only went up to about the knee, mm-hmm. and so they could maneuver real well in the woods around palmettos. And
well, another one that we're looking at, of course, as you say, is the one, and I can see it clearly in the photograph, mm-hmm. which is aluminum on the outside, and you can see the trim around the, mm-hmm. the edge of being the leather. You said, though, at one point these things were entirely made of leather, though?
Yes, when they began to be made, I believe they were all leather, a heavy leather, and then they're strapped down on the foot where there's no chance of a snake
coming up on you,
getting yeah. underneath the between the legging and the boot or foot shoe. Mrs. Twist was our rodeo queen for 4 years, from 1940 through 1943. A very attractive woman, and she still is very active in her shoe business in downtown on Oak Street. Very attractive great-grandmother numbers of times, and she's been written up, interviewed by different newspapers, magazines over the years. I have pictures of her that were distributed statewide by the Rodeo Association when she was rodeo queen around Calgary, which meant she participated in barrel racing and other competitive sports for women only. And it was a title that was earned not just because of her beauty, but because of her riding ability and this type of thing that put her in with the men in competition. And Alvy is kind of retired. He doesn't do a whole lot of work now, but mm-hmm. his little manufacturing shop there near his home is intact, and I'm sure he would be honored for you to come by and talk to him. The shop that she runs now began in 1938, according to this article I have. So this would be about the 49th year she'd been in business.
And you were saying that he was in, that he knew about harnesses and about buggies.
Yeah, yes, anything relating to gear, buggy, wagon gear, and saddles and stirrups and things of this nature. He's been in that. And she has too, of course, worked side to side with him for many years, but for the last few years she has done all the running of the shoe store, and he's yeah. run the
legging business,
legging manufacturing.
And you said that south of town, up to a year ago, there had been a man who had worked in leather, too. And now he's...
Yes, I can't recall his name, but I believe he's in St. Augustine. And I've read articles about him recently that he wrestles alligators, and he was... He did leather trim work here, and building saddles and harnesses and gears of for horsemen, cattlemen, and in fact, he owned a Clydesdale
horse.
He bought it from the Budweiser company, one of those that had been used too much on hot payment, and I think the feet got a little hurt or something, and he took it and nursed it back to health, and he had it around here for shows and for our rodeo parades and things like that. Mm-hmm. But he moved from here about 2 or 3 years ago and got back into what he was in before he came here, and that was wrestling alligators for shows and, and alligator parks and things of that nature. So help me, I can't recall his name. I also told you about Dr. D.L. McSwain, one of the pioneer doctors in DeSoto County. He died in 1933. A portrait of him hung in the Arcady General Hospital for many years in the lobby that was painted by Frank Bolin, an outstanding artist of this area, a portrait artist. That portrait is now either in the home of his son, who was Gordon McSwain, G.H. McSwain, who died just a couple of years ago, and are in the home of his son-in-law, Dr. Calvin Martin, who is a practicing physician here in town. In fact, there may be the small one in one of the homes and a large one in the other home. This was the large one here that's pictured here.
Now, weren't one of these men someone who wrote history about this area, too, or some of these doctors?
Dr. Gordon McSwain has written a book on cracker cures, medical medicines that were used by the early Floridians when they didn't have access to medical doctors. A lot of the herbs and roots and mixtures that... pioneer doctors and people who did not have access to doctors made their own medicines and herbs and teas, and he has written a book and got the scores of prescriptions that were used by people who didn't have access to hospital or doctor or pharmacy. And it's a very interesting book. Have you seen that book?
No, sir.
Medical.
Yes,
it's called Florida Cure, Cracker Cures. Florida Cracker Cures.
Yeah, because Tom Gaskins makes some stuff himself, and I guess his dad dabbled in a little bit, and he was mentioning this to me.
That's right. Dr. McSwain was a practicing surgeon until the time he died, just a couple of years ago. His dad was one of the pioneer doctors of this county, and he operated on the first Seminole child that was ever operated on. And he did it at the Lee Memorial Hospital in Fort Myers in 1921. There's the article there about him doing that. And years later, his son, Gordon McSwain, or G.H. McSwain, his son, found this Indian after it was grown and interviewed it. And it was quite a historical first in that first Seminole Indian that was had ever been operated on by a white physician. Frank Bolin, the artist who painted that picture, painted other people in this area. He was one of the best, if not the best, that has come out of DeSoto County in portrait painting. His wife is still living, but I think she's up around Ocala, but her husband, her second husband, is living here south, east of town. His name is Corley Prescott. I think that's the main thing about Dr. McSwain. So there is the third generation in that family practicing now, although his son-in-law mm-hmm. instead of son.
Yeah, another man that was mentioned to me that was an old saddle maker was Cecil Altman.
You know, I don't remember him, Cecil Altman.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Yeah, we were talking about Tom Gaskins.
Yes.
And the photograph of his early carvings and stuff.
Yes, I have a book here, an album just on the Gaskin family.
That's you're mentioning
how important that family has been. They go back, the name Thomas Gaskin goes back about seven times. And Thomas Gaskin is the one that owns the Cypress Museum now. I'm the first man to peel cypress knees and has a copyright on them. Has a son named Thomas Gaskin.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I met his son. I've known Tom for most of my life. And I remember his dad, the grandfather, the third one. And then the fourth Thomas Gaskin was the inventor of the coupling that joined railroad cars together. This was an article out of the DeSoto County News, April 23rd, 1920. But the invention goes back to 1880-something, when railroads first came into DeSoto County. Here's an article about this particular invention of this Thomas Gaskins. And this is a drawing, or this is a
photograph
in the paper. Of the coupling together, and these are the parts. This is a drawing from photographs that are available of downtown Arcadia Oak Street mm-hmm. that you came down this morning. Mm-hmm. In front of where the railroad track was. The railroad mm-hmm. track runs along here. This is a Gaskin store right here. Even back, the first Gaskin that was known here in Soda County was the fourth one that I'm acquainted with,
mm-hmm.
not personally. I'm not acquainted with him personally, but he was in the seed and fertilizer business, as well as being an inventor of not only the coupling to the railroad cars,
mm-hmm.
but the man who invented the Jolicy window.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen the copyright. Both the Jealousy windows and similar to the ones that are being used today, and now the awning window, which
well, you know what, Tom Gaskins, the man who worked with the cypress knee, he told me that there were two spots in town where his grandfather first had the store and then his father had the store, and I can't find it now in my notes but the thing is, at first it was behind Dolby's or something with a D. The son was kidnapped, the general was kidnapped, and grandson of that family was kidnapped in Italy somewhere. The terrorists brought him back.
You mean Dozier?
Dozier, yeah.
General Jimmy Dozier.
Yeah. His the first store was next or behind Dozier's, and then it moved down the street.
Oak Street. You came down that street.
Oak Street.
Oak Street. Right. When you turned off of Oak Street, when you
mm-hmm.
it was in that first block on the right, the newer building. The older building was across the street. Now, I didn't know that until I was down there visiting Tom last year sometime. Mm-hmm. And he told me that building still stands. It's directly south of the odorless dry cleaners. Mm-hmm. It's between, there's a group of dentists that has an office, a new little office.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, by the way, the building is now housed, it houses the downtown historical association office. It also houses the DeSoto County Centennial Office. So we're in the 100th anniversary of the city and the county of DeSoto. So that building is between... Well,
the second building we're talking about now.
Yes.
And that building is between which, sir?
It's between a group of dentist office
mm-hmm.
and the odorless dry cleaners. It's on... I guess it would be North Polk. I believe North and South divides there at Oak mm-hmm. Street, where you turn mm-hmm. off Oak, coming on the Polk. It's over on your right, coming north, behind the on the corner is the Gold Dome Savings Bank, savings account. Mm-hmm. And then there's an alley, then there's the historical offices, Centennial Office, and the Downtown Historical okay. Restoration Office. And then the that is the building where the Gaskins had their mm-hmm. seed store. And
do you have a picture then of that building as it was?
I don't have a picture of it. No, this was taken from a photograph, but I don't mm-hmm. have that photograph. I have pictures of these buildings when they were all wooden downtown before the city was destroyed by fire in November 30th, 1904 or 1905, I've
got to be sure. It's on Thanksgiving Day, I thought, or something like that.
It was November 3rd, anyway. It was Thanksgiving Day, I believe.
Yeah.
This is the old Gaskins home that the fourth generation back, Gaskins, who invented the coupling to the railroad mm-hmm. and the jolly winder. This is the house that he built. Mm-hmm. This was written by his grandson-in-law, Reed Hardy, who was a historian in DeSoto County. Mm-hmm. He was a retired surgeon in the United States Army, but he became a historian in DeSoto County. This is a photograph of the old Gaskins family, Thomas Gaskins, the back four generations from now, mm-hmm. and his daughter and son-in-law, grandchildren, and son. That's Thomas gave me these names of each one of those family now, and also I gave Thomas the negative to this. I remember these daughters of this man. This is Jake Stormbreaker, who married mm-hmm. Maud Gaskins, who was the daughter of Thomas Gaskins back four generations. George Stormbreaker, who was the son of Frank Stormbreaker, who was the grandson of Thomas Gaskins. I call him senior, but mm-hmm. because, like I say, there's three more generations mm-hmm. that come since him. They owned the Arcadia Hardware Store here for 50 or 60 years. There's a son in here that, one son, I believe, was killed in World War II right here, Frank Stormbreaker, or right after World War II. And then this is Thomas Gaskins, the son of Thomas Gaskins Sr.
Yeah, because this is Tom Gaskin here.
And
this is
little Tom
Gaskin.
That's the one now that owns Cypress Garden. That's his mother, Maud Gaskin. And this is Sadie Harding, who's the
mother?
Wife of Reed Harding, mm-hmm. the surgeon, retired Army colonel that became a historian of a fashion of Soda County. We have in our library here, we have a room called the Reed Harding Historical Library room that's dedicated to Reed Harding because he wrote so much about the early days of Arcadia because of his wife's family being here back in the last century. These others are all people who were raised here.
I saw a big frame photo of this.
You saw that because I knew that he had it, but I had the original negative.
Huh.
Because I bought the old studio, the Charles A. Moore studio, that had all these files in it, even this photograph here.
Were they glass negatives?
Of the old home. No. The glass negatives, which if they had been taken from the glass negatives, were destroyed in September 1960 when Donna came through here and took off part of the roof of the Charles A. Moore studio, and all the glass plates were destroyed in that storm.
My God. But so in effect, though, since the other negatives were made...
They were probably made from the glass plates. If, in fact, they were even made from glass plates, since Tommy is about 70... 5 years old, that may have been made even with a different type negative.
What type of negative? Well, I mean, would it not have been film? I mean, would it not have been glass, or would it have been, I'm trying to get this
out. It may not have been glass. It may have been the newer type. I can't say for sure if the negative was an original. I'm sure that it can be examined by an expert to see if it was a copied from the glass plate or whether it is the original negative.
Could I just copy off the list?
This house still stands in a very good condition. It's been remodeled in recent years, but you can tell that it is the same house. So
these big gaskins, the third we're saying here, yeah, of this group that's here. His mother's name was Maud?
Yes.
She's a very handsome woman.
Yes, she was.
He spoke very well of his parents.
Now, their graves are all in this. Most all of these that are here are a large number, especially the Thomas Gaskin Sr., the Thomas Gaskin Jr., and Mrs. Thomas Gaskin Jr., Jake Stonebreaker, George Stonebreaker, and even others are buried out here in the Oak Ridge Cemetery with their markers that can be identified when they were born, when they died.
Hmm. The house stands on North Manatee?
Yes. Now here's how the house looks today, more.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
They did, this couple, young couple, remodeled it. But it's still identifiable. Here's some of the ads
from the newspapers.
From the newspapers and some of the interesting stories about, well, when Thomas Gaskin's daddy and mother got married in 1906 there.
Mm-hmm. December the 12th, 1906.
Mm-hmm. Some of the ads from the paper I just cut out. Thomas Gaskin Sr., the one manufactured cigars. But see, he wasn't even called Thomas Gaskin Jr. then. I mean,
well, now we're saying
the fourth generation back was called Jr. then, so the Thomas Gaskin go back about seven generations.
Well, now the man who made the cigars, was he... The man who I met, was it his father or grandfather?
Now, I can't distinctly say.
Mm-hmm.
I can't distinctly say because he's referred to, the fourth generation back is referred to as Thomas Gaskin Jr. And his advertisements was Thomas Gaskin Jr. But also his son advertised later after he died as Thomas Gaskin Jr. And even Thomas Gaskin, the third one that I know of is referred to as Thomas Gaskin Jr. And
yeah,
the fourth one must be referred to as Jr. rather than saying 1, 2, 3, 4 like they did.
They just do Jr.
But Tom, the one that's owned Cypress Garden, told me, Cypress Museum told me that the name Thomas Gaskin go back about 7 successive
generations.
But I'm not positive where this is the fourth one back
or who it
or
is
the third one back.
Yeah, it's dated 1907.
I have an idea that they were both in the same business, but
mm-hmm. Yeah, September 28th.
Really before my time. Now here's an article in 1928 was in the paper, Mr. and Ms. Thomas Gaskins. They're natives of sister states, North and South Carolina. Mr. Gaskin is the inventor and manufacturer of the Gator Roach Hive to kill roaches. It's sold all over the United States. So evidently, the third generation back was not born here. Came from South Carolina. Now this is when the owner of the museum was 19 years old. It said he is a very skillful carver in wood. He does it without any instructions. His mother showed me an interesting example of his handiwork. And one of the things that he did back then was whittle chains with balls in the middle of them with all in from one piece of wood.
Yeah, I know.
He showed you this,
yeah,
and I have pictures of it too. I think it's in here too.
Yeah, I'd like to see those. Yeah, they're just
ants here. There's lots of interesting articles about now this was no doubt his daddy here, the owner of the the Cypress Mill, his daddy. He had grits mill, rice mill, feed mill, bean huller. He was, back then, everything that was grown here was processed here.
That's right.
Through mills. Whether it's corn or rice or beans or cow feed or hog feed or anything, if it was grown here, it was put through different mills that his father owned.
Yeah. Oh, it says here, the inventive Gaskins. Tom Gaskins Sr. came to this county in 1887 from North Carolina. He was one of the charter members, of St. Edmund's Episcopal Church, for which he built and hand-carved the lectern on which the Bible rests.
That may still be there.
He also designed and built the scroll work on the George Stonebreaker home.
That's this home here that was originally called the
this home here?
Yes.
He did the stonework on this?
Yes.
Okay, so it says he did the Stonebreaker home. Thomas Gaskins Jr. came to Arcadia at the age of 8. Yeah, he was born in Tampa. He was one of the charter members of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, American Legion, and Home Guards. Also, no, this is the father of Tom Gaskins.
Yes, right.
So the father, Tom Gaskins Jr. now, came to Arcadia at the age of 8. He was
That's
one of
the father.
Oh, I see.
Thomas Gaskins
that's alive now, the senior one. He was one of the charter members of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, American Legion, and Home Guards. That's right. He fought in the Philippines. He fought in the Spanish-American Wall.
Yes, I've got articles about him.
Yeah, also he originated the Gator Roach Hive business. Thomas Gaskins III, carrying on the Gaskins inventive genius, originated the Cypress Knee industry, and his home is now in Palmdale, Florida. He is now serving as a Marine in World War II.
Well, see, that was dated back. Well, that doesn't even have the date, but it would have to be in the early 40s.
Yeah.
Now, Thomas Gaskins, the father of the Cypress man, his father organized the Company C, which was a home guard, prior to World War I. And I have different stories about that, about him for that. And here's an interesting article that he and another businessman here bought some of Wilson's wool, President Wilson's wool, out of the White House back in 1918. That's an interesting article there. From some of the sheep that were grazing evidently on the White House ground. Yeah.
You know, they sound like they were promoters too.
Now, where the Gator Roach Hive is located now, it was on the ACL Railroad Line Depot. It's still there. That was complete, built in 1915. And the Gator Roach Hive, or DeSoto Chemical Company, is still there. So that being the case, back to 1915, you see, this Gaskins Seed Company and the grits mill, the rice mill, feed mill, and the bean hauler, well, no doubt was his father.
Yeah,
the third generation back, because this was 1919 when this was going on, which was 4 years earlier than when he built the warehouse. So, but that was before the Gator Roach Hive business was there.
Yeah.
So he's been located in several places that I know of. One right near the railroad track on Oak Street downtown, and then on two locations on North Polk Avenue, and then on the railroad track south of Hickory Street.
Yeah, and Tom Sr., who was alive today, was saying that his father also had stores like in Moorhaven and Arcadia.
And he had the oldest and largest seed and fertilizer house in South Florida. Now that, again, could be his father or grandfather. I'm not sure.
Yeah, the date is 1915 on that.
The home that Thomas Gaskins of the Cypress Knee Museum where he lived. He lived there from 1914 till approximately 36 or 7 when he left here and moved to Palmdale. That's about 50 years ago. But the little house stands now. It has a very tall steeple right across from the west of the West Elementary School. This is some of the construction of some of his buildings in different locations.
Now, this one that's on Polk Street, is that the one that Polk Avenue? Is that the one we're talking about now?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Now, it says Polk Avenue in the rear of the First National Bank building. Now, Odorous Dry Cleaners, which houses now the Downtown Historical Office and the Centennial Office. That is this building here, was built in 1950.
Yeah, it's 43 by 50 feet. Let me divide it into two rooms.
D.C. Ryan contracted the brickwork, and he was the man that built the community swimming pool here about 2 miles south of town, called the Ryan Swimming Pool. It was built in the 20s and was used for public bathing up until, well, it was sold to the Forbes family, I believe, in the 40s or 50s, and used for the school system and for public bathing until in the 60s or late 50s, and the pool is still there, but there's no water in it. It's not being used anymore. But it was a part of the recreational interest of this area, because back then no one had swimming pools in their homes, even the rich people.
Yeah, it was different times.
I don't think there is a swimming pool in DeSoto County within anybody at anybody's home back in the 20s and 30s. They may have come in the 40s, but they just weren't, and there was only one swimming pool. Each community usually had a swimming pool. Up at Zolfo, there's a large swimming pool there, and it hadn't been used many years. There's some like here at Brighton that has, I believe they're still using one at Brighton, like not near, on the road to Okeechobee. But used to, the communities had a public swimming pool.
And that was
what eliminated was the Supreme Court ruling of 1954, which brought integration into the public school system. I think by and large, the white population was fearful of mixing the races and swimming, although it's mixed together in rivers and lakes and things like that prior to that, but in public, it just eliminated most of the community swimming pools. And I feel that even today we don't have swimming in high school in most of our places down here, because there's still that prejudice. Yes. I mean, it's never, you never read anything about it, you never hear anything about it, because it's not there. And maybe the demand is not as much because there's people who have swimming pools, but still, there's so many people deprived of a good place to swim till you have to come to that conclusion, and that's still probably the reason we don't have community swimming pools anymore. That is in this section. I don't know how it is all over. There's interesting articles here about the equipment, the guns and everything that they were finally able to acquire to protect the home folk in case of outbreaks during and prior to World War One. And Thomas Gaskins, that's Tom's daddy there, you can see the resemblance of him. He was a small fellow, probably 5 feet, 4 or 5, but he was a military man. When you see him walk down the street, he walked just like a rod, I mean straight as a barrel, and he was very disciplined in the from the military service that he had been in that date back in the last of the century when he fought
Spanish-American
in the Boer War, I believe.
Yeah, he was all over the place.
Yeah, he was in different parts of the world.
And you've got a picture of the Gator Roach Hives ads.
There, yes, that's ads of these date back to its beginning.
And do you just have this photograph? You wouldn't happen to have any of these boxes or anything like this, would you?
No, I don't. But I'm sure that they would provide you some with that if you go down. His brother, I mean, this his son, his second son, is Gerald, J-E-R-O-L-D.
J-E-R-O-L-D.
R-O-L-D. That's two R's, I think.
Okay.
Anyway, he's the manager and probably controlling interest, has a controlling interest. Now, his brother, Thomas, the Cypress man, he told me he had 27%, so Gerald probably has 50% or more. And his son, I believe his Gerald's son is Gerald too, that manages it now or assists his father in managing. He may.
And they're still here in town, they're still manufacturing?
Yes, yes. Now this is the Gaskin family back in the 30s. That's Tom, that's his daddy Tom, and that's Maud Stonebreaker, their mother and his wife. And that's Gerald, he's the one that I think owns the controlling interest of the DeSoto Chemical Company, which is the company that manufactures Gator Roach Hives. This was an article in the paper about 1920s. They made its first carload shipment of a single distributor, the retail value of the shipment being $72,000. That was, I got that out, I think I have the original here. Here's the original, 1928. The local Arcadian newspaper printed 2 million impressions for these, and that's what that was, shipped on here. I think it was, it's a little confusing. It looks like the labels were on here, but on the other hand, it looks like they shipped a carload of Gator Roach Hives out of here, because it here tells about the printing contract that was let by the local printing company, and then it says.
Yes, well, I'm sort of confused myself. So are you saying that the labels are what was printed?
Yes, the labels were printed locally here, but here it says a carload, solid carload of Gator Roach Hives that were being shipped out. The labels were printed here, but I mean that was the first carload apparently
that
was shipped out in a carload fashion by the Atlantic Coastline, which ran alongside their building. And in other words, that's when they built a building there to ship by rail.
And what newspaper is this?
This was the local paper, the Arcadian.
Arcadian, March 1st, 1928.
Mm-hmm. This is just a copy. I wrote this article here from some of my research material, and there's a picture I had of him. There's his father, and there's another picture from the Gaskins family. Now here's one of their early ads, 1921.
So the father was a major?
Well, yes. Yes, I think that we always called him Major Gaskin. The best I remember, that's what we call him, Major. Just call him Major, yes. This is an ad that goes back to 1921, which was right after they started manufacturing, because here is a story about Arcadian perfects a poison that will kill the rodents. That was in August of 21. This ad appeared in the DeSoto County News, which is the same paper as this, 2 months later, in the form of an ad. So that could have easily been, from what newspapers I had, and I did all the research, that was the mm-hmm. first ad I could find of the DeSoto Chemical Company advertising their Gatorade Chime.
Yeah. 10/21/21.
And here's the story of the invention, about how he even bought. He killed all the roaches in his house, and then he paid, he bought roaches, paid a penny a piece for them
to
experiment, show how he was able to kill all roaches that would be served by the Gatorade Chime. Now that's his other son, Gerald, that runs the place now. Of course, that's his daughter. She's in the real estate business here.
The place name is Parker. No.
Yes. You've met her?
No, I have not.
Yeah. John Parker, Jr., wife there, real estate brokers here.
Yeah, I've seen that.
This was, I think he even gave me this from Popular Science. That's, he saw
his turkey call.
He makes most of his money now for turkey call. Would you believe that? His son told us that he could go out of the Cypress Knee business because most of his money is for turkey call. He sent me this. I've had a lot of correspondence with him. He gave me a ticket there, and anytime I want to go, free of charge, bring anybody I want to. Now this begins about him. This is when he and his wife got married, and when he was in service, and when he planned to build his museum. These are some of the photos. Now he didn't have these evidently until I took those down. I had the negatives, and I took him some of them down. These were back in the early 30s when he was still in Arcadia. So that's positive proof that he was the man who put clocks in Cypress, the first man to peel. And he even dilly-dallied in making ornaments like this, but he doesn't like to do that now. He says every Cypress Knee is a work of art, and he doesn't like to make other things out of them. He likes for them to be just like he gave when we went there. He wanted me to pick out anything he had as a gift from him. And he just sees so much and stuff like that. He can lecture.
Yeah.
Did he tell you about being on Johnny Carson?
Yeah, I saw the video.
Did you?
I saw, yeah.
He
had a video there.
Johnny was quite impressed with about 15 minutes he had time. He said, don't put anything in that. Don't put a flower in it. Don't put anything in it. Just leave it like that. It's a piece of art. I mean, he just looks on every one of them as a masterpiece of art.
Yeah, from nature.
And he just sees things in it that like an abstract artist would see in something that nobody else would see in.
Yeah.
So that, he told you about how he hollered them out to keep them cracking, all this
stuff. Yeah, he had all his problems figuring out how to do this stuff.
People, even in this encyclopedia, said that they were hollow.
Yeah.
And he had to prove to even the encyclopedia that they were not hollow, that they had to be hollowed in order to maintain the drying out. And so you see, this he's got that in his museum. It's going to be a picture of somebody. But he doesn't think too much of that stuff anymore. But he just experimented with a lot of stuff. These were some of his
postcards
that he gave me, one of each of those. Did he take you across the catwalk?
I went on my own at first. It's a little dangerous out there.
He didn't like to take people across anymore because of liability insurance.
Yeah.
He said he can't afford it. This was in the paper last week. On his 77th birthday, he ran
10 miles.
10 miles. He's quite a wiry little fellow. Climbed trees and was barefooted everywhere. That's a little barn out there. These are just some enlargements from this paper. It was Standard Oil Company used to put it out.
And was it a booklet just on the Cypress Knee stuff that he did?
Mm-hmm. There is something else in there besides that, but I mean, this was think it starts.
The wiki watch, and then there it is. I see. On Fish Eating Creek, yeah, that's one of the rare specimens, yeah. Yeah, I was looking at all the tools he has. Because he takes stuff out with dental tools. I thought that
was
amazing.
Did you see those shingles that he screwed?
Yeah, and made on his own. Yeah, he worked on it.
You know, that would, each one of those shingles would make a artistic, you know, you could paint something on them, or you could paste something on those and make them very rustic looking, artistic.
This is Scenic South, February 1955. It was put out by the Standard Oil Company.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, well, that's what I think is, you know, I was asking him, I said, well, are there any more, because he made his own ladders and he, you know, hollowed out his own canoes.
This
and
is a brochure. Mm-hmm. I guess you got all of that, didn't you?
Yes, sir, he gave me a brochure. So I was asking him if there was anybody else who had done this. And this is when he showed me this brochure and he showed me that chain.
Yeah.
And that's when he said in Arcadia, they say, he said that everybody used to do it. He said it was nothing in those days at that time.
Well, everybody couldn't do it as good as he did, but a lot of them would do different things. I mean, but I'd say most of them did it just for pastime. They're just whittling off a piece of cedar was mm-hmm. the choice. And there was a man here called Tink Hollingsworth. And that's all he did, except when somebody wanted me to move a piece of furniture or something like that. And he was a big fella, maybe 6 feet, 4 or 5, and didn't have any education, but he was strong as an ox. And people would bring him, when they'd cut down cedar trees, they'd bring him certain pieces that he loved to. And he always was downtown with a sharp knife, just whittling. I mean, I don't think he ever formed anything, but it was really a pastime. It was actually the way that people used to entertain themselves. And the sharper the knife and the finer the sliver of wood, the better they liked it. To make the wood last longer, instead of cutting big slivers
of it,
they'd just where it just curl up, you know, like a spring, orange spring or something like that. And all around the sidewalk and in the street you'd see these shavings from cedar trees.
Yeah.
Cedar trees was what was used by the ones that liked to do it more, not professionally, but more than the others did. Because the grain of the wood allowed you to make long strings of curlicues. And you just see piles of these curlicues all over them.
Yeah, Tom said it'd be around by their legs, just by their ankles and stuff, just pile up like snow, you know.
Yeah. Now, you can see how idle or how people were entertained. Maybe
cases.
It wasn't as we think of idleness today, because we've got a lot of idle time. But we do more exciting things. But this was actually a pastime.
Yeah.
And some did do it artistically, mm-hmm. but I don't remember too much of being artistic. I remember Mr. Newberry, that I've got pictures here. I'll show you that. I'm sure the negative can print a better picture than that, but I mean, those are out of solid pieces of wood. He was
Who has this ox team and
Well, I don't know. You might could inquire here in town. One of his, two of his grandsons live here, Gerald Newberry, and another Newberry boy is a well driller here. And he lives north of town, a couple of miles. But I have an idea that they have some of it, because another grandson that I mentioned married my wife's first cousin, who lives in Pococo, he has some of it. But I don't remember what he has, but it's not this particular one.
Cocoa is a town?
Yeah, Cocoa is where Cape Canaveral, Cape Kennedy is.
I see.
Cocoa. COCOA, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that Cocoa Beach or just Cocoa?
Well, there's Cocoa City and the Cocoa Beach, yeah.
But it's in Cocoa City, I see.
He lives in Cocoa, yeah. It's right on US 1, I believe, right? Off of US 1. Lewis Newberry is his name.
Lewis.
But there is two of the grandsons here in town that...
Yeah, Gerald and then the one that's the well driller.
Yeah, that's right. But now, if you want to copy that...
Yeah, I'd like to...
I either have the negative or either I trade it off with a photographer here in town who prints for me free of charge if he either has access to my negatives, or sometime if I have duplicate negatives, or even sometime when I don't have any, I've let him have some of my negatives.
Mm-hmm.
Then now I have to go back to him if I want additional ones if I sell any.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this is phenomenal. I mean, this would show that, that what's here is there's like three pairs of matched oxens and then a man on a cart with a whip.
Yeah, right.
And it's there's a penknife that's opened up like next to the man, so you can see the relationship there.
Yeah, right.
And it's just, it's phenomenal. I mean, it's
incredible
detail.
Well, he displayed, now this was built, fixed on a piece of wood where he could carry the whole thing off together, see? It was all together. In other words, he had it either glued down or fixed, secured it where he could move the whole thing at one
Just
time.
Pick it up, that's right, as a unit.
Because otherwise it would have been difficult for him probably even stand with some of their legs in the air, you know. So they were secured. He secured them down one way or another. But...
Well, given the skill of this man and Tom Gaskins down at Cypress Knee, there must have been quite a number of people who used to do this kind of woodworking.
Well, there's probably more than I know of. See, Tom is about 11 or 12 years older than I am, and he may even remember more. I remember back from about 29. But I was a small kid then. I was only about 8 years old. So, you know, I may not have been as incisive as he is, as he was. And he was even born here. That Thomas Gaskin was born here. It was his daddy came in when he was a young man.
That's
so
right.
I just don't have knowledge of others.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Are your car windows up?
Sir?
Are your car windows up?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
But now, if you want photographs of these...
Yeah, I would sure... the Oxford ones are...
Now, there's Mom Thomas Gaskins. See, there's bookends he made. There's...
candlestick holders, plants,
things
everything.
Things like that. And there's different stories I got about him being barefooted. You know, he goes... barefoot, he climbed trees and everything else.
Yeah.
There.
And this chains, yeah.
There's another story about him there, and there's letters I've gotten from time to time because he's interested in the history of this area because he's born here. And
yeah.
He tells me different stories. When he does, I just keep copies of them. He goes back, remembers when he was in school, World War I, when some of these aircraft used to buzz the high school and our grade school. He said, "The following I saw because I was there, Charlie. Planes were swooping over the school. They turned out the school to see the planes flying low. Some of them would dive down to within 10 or 15 feet of us children and then turn off. One plane dived down, coming from the north, turned east toward the high school and old grammar school, and just as it started to rise up, the wood flagpole stared him in the face. His wing cut off about 6 to 8 feet of the flagpole. He never hesitated, rose right on up and took off out of sight. I saw all of this with my own eyes and never forgot it."
And November 17th, 1984.
Yeah, and his father, he said, "I attended with my father at a meeting of the Home Guard at Seward's store at 3 o'clock in the morning, and there was supposed to have been a strike on the airfield. But this morning, nothing happened." He told me personally, he said his daddy was there, wouldn't allow the strike. It was non-strikeable, a defense air force out there. He told about his father born in the Home Guard. He's quite a character.
Yeah.
And he's from, like I said, a long line of
inventors
and engineers, and inventive folk. And
just run out to my car just for 1 minute because I want to get some additional paperwork. I'll turn this off for a second. All right, sir.
I tell you, there's another interesting fellow here in town who has written fictional stories of this area, and he's a retired lawyer. And the books he writes, he doesn't call the people by their right name. He uses other names, but people who live here know who he's writing about, and because he was a lawyer, he wrote in such a way where he couldn't be sued for it. He lives out here north of town, about a mile from here, right on this, around the corner and up Arcadia Avenue. He's a very interesting fellow. His name is E.D. Treadwell Jr., or Doug Treadwell Jr.
E.D.?
E.D. Treadwell Jr. His father and uncle were lawyers back in the last century. In fact, this man and his father and his nephew have extended about 92 years of law practice in DeSoto County. So he is a native and well known here in retirement, and practiced law for many years here. Like I say, the author of several books of fiction on DeSoto County. You may find some interesting stories that he might be able to tell you on some of this area that you're asking about that I don't know as much about. Now, he's probably in his late 70s or maybe near 80.
Mm-hmm. And the spelling of his last name, is it
T-R-E-A-D-W-E-L-L, E.D. Treadwell Jr.
So it's T-R-A-D-D-L-E?
No, T-R-E-A-D.
Treadwell.
Mm-hmm.
E.D.
E.D. Treadwell Jr., yes. Or Doug. Most people know him by Doug Treadwell. Now, the ones we've talked about, the ones you might want to photograph some things about, is Twist.
Mm-hmm.
His leggings, Newberry and his carvings, Max Swain's portrait painting by Frank Boland, B-O-L-A-N-D.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're interested in this or not. This is goes back to the Seminole Indians. Billy Bowlegs the third, there's Billy Bowlegs second, this Billy Bowlegs third. He used to drive a mule drawn rail trolley down Main Street. The last century, 1880s and 90s, when there was phosphate on the river, and when there was a little general store down there owned by the man who owned this railroad trolley, and also the man who built the first bank here in DeSoto County, and he also owned a sawmill. I have an original picture here of that Indian. His name was Billy Bowlegs. He was well known in among the Seminoles. In fact, there was a dedication, a memorial to him when he died, where he was buried. And here's his little story about him. Master of ceremonies at this memorial service was Doyle Carlton, former governor of Florida, and the dedicatory address was given by Spencer Holland, the United States Senator from Florida, former governor too. And I have the program here. It was sponsored by the Polk County Historical Commission and the Peace River Valley Historical Society, of which DeSoto County is part of. That's a little interesting history of
Billy Bowlegs the Third.
Billy Bowlegs the Third.
Are there Seminole Indians still in this area?
Yes, they have.
Well, the Brighton Indian School is.
That's the closest we have actually of a reservation. Mm-hmm. I don't know of any locally here actually. This is Billy Bowlegs the Second, who evidently was the father of Billy Bowlegs the Third. He was during the last Florida Indian War, called the Third Seminole War, 1855 to 1858. He's said to have been started by Billy Bowlegs the Second after an army survey party chopped up the Seminole chief's banana patch in the Big Cypress Swamp. Bowlegs retaliated by attacking the party, killing two men and wounding four. Sporadic fighting between whites and bands of Indians continued until 1858, when Bowlegs surrendered. That was in a book I have here on yesterday's Florida History by Nixon Smiley. That's a drawing that I copied out of the book. This is now Billy Bowlegs the Third.
Where does that hat come from? I mean, is that a traditional thing or is that just showtime?
Well, it was a headgear, some type that the Indians wore, evidently, instead of the other type that other Indians wore. They wore something more of a bucket type. And even this one here is different, a little different, but still it's a band type, a square type. Now here, see, that's a little different too. That's another picture. He and his wife and two daughters. This is different. So there's three different poses I have of him, and each one of them have a little different hair gear. Now this is a picture of him after he was 101 years old with a regular cowboy hat on.
Yeah.
Well, I copied this from somebody else's. It came out of the Tampa Tribune, but they didn't have the date, so don't know when he died. But he was 101 when this picture was taken.
Yeah.
But if that has any interest, I told you about one of the railroad fresh fruit houses that was here up until the last few years ago. It's still there, but it originally was a railroad depot, CH&N Railroad Depot. Oh, yeah.
I don't know who Burt Marshall is, but I know that this is at the Sarasota County